Well, Father, we thank you again for being our God. We thank you for your grace and mercy upon us, Lord. Man, if it wasn't for that, God, we should have had us out of here. But we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord, and your love toward us, and placing your love into us, Lord, for each other. And we thank you, Lord, that we do have the love of Christ in us, because it's you who put it in us, and we ask for it. And when we ask, we receive, because we believe. And Father, we just praise you that tonight's going to be an anointed night, and that revelations are going to come forth. People's eyes will be opened up. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you've got your hand on Trump. We thank you, Lord, that you're taking care of the enemies. You're going to expose all the enemies up there that are trying to take over. And, Lord, we just thank you. We believe in. We're standing in faith for him. And we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, the way it looks now, doesn't look like there's a chance. But, Lord, we know that when you're in charge, great things happen. And we just praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we're marching around Jericho right now, blowing the horn and praising you, Lord. And we're going to see the walls come down, the walls of the deep state, and exposing all of those corrupt officials up there, Lord, for the things that they're doing to this country and the people in this country. And we praise you, Father, that you are going to send a bunch of them to jail. And you're going to free up this country to walk into this tribulation with at least the president, you know, up there that doesn't persecute us. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in all of us. And Lord, I ask that you guide us tonight, you lead us tonight, and that it won't be anything but you that speaks, Lord. I thank you for your grace upon me and everybody in here, Lord, and to teach us to show grace as well. If you don't give grace, you don't get grace. And I praise you, Father, that we're all going to get that grace. I thank you, Lord, for Leon's complete healing. And he won't have to worry about that anymore, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight prayers will be answered, testimonies will be heard, and your praises, praise reports will be heard as well, Lord. And we thank you for all that's accomplished tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Today is the 3rd of August. My goodness, it seemed like yesterday it was January 1, didn't it? Good gracious. It's going by quick. Hey, Charlie and Linda. Good to have y'all. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody got a praise report, prayer request, or testimony? Hey, John. Yeah, Tim, go ahead.
Well, I got a praise report. We prayed for my daughter and her situation about this time on Tuesday after the outreach. I went down to take her a new phone. She got drove over, darn it. And her and her boyfriend were back together, and we've been texting with her a little bit. And, the Lord is making a move there. Not exactly sure where it's going to end up, but things are better for her, and it was almost instantaneous in relation to our group prayer that things turned around down there, and I think that she's going to start searching the Lord. So,
praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we believe that with you, too. Thank you, Father. Okay, anyone else? Go ahead, Matt?
I just want to pray, have you all agree with me. My dad's looking for another job now that he's retired. And so they want to find like a part-time job. So I just want to pray into that a little bit.
Okay.
Lord, we come before you, Lord, and we lay this case before you, Lord, that you would do what you know what's best for him, Lord, and my family, Lord, that you provide the right job, Lord, for him, Lord, to give him that part-time job so he doesn't have to work much, Lord, and it won't be as stressful on him, Lord, but also you also use it to bring him to you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. He's going to find something he can do himself and work for himself in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. That's what I did. I found me a job myself. I did my work for Michaels, who I work for, me and Jesus. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Anybody else got a praise report or a testimony? Kind of waiting on Mike and Yuri to get on. And before we start the study tonight, once saved, always saved. Unconditional eternal security stuff. What a way I thought we'd do it is I just go ahead and teach on it a little bit and then let them ask any questions they want to ask. And just kind of go that route with it. There's Lynn in. And Malcolm. How you doing, Malcolm?
I'm doing awesomely.
Awesomely?
How are you?
I'm blessed, brother. Praise God. You doing okay?
I was just listening to your sonorous tones there on the recording from Wednesday night's broadcast, and then I thought, I looked at the clock and go, oh my, we're 10 minutes into the fellowship. Maybe I should switch gears here and go to the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Glad to have you.
Glad to be had.
Yeah. Have you got any snow up there?
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
Nothing but perspiration and heat, and
oh,
at least
my.
We don't have humidity like we have in Michigan.
Yep. Yeah. Well, all right. It's good to have you, brother.
Thanks.
All right. Anybody else got a prayer request, a testimony, or a praise report? Yeah, Matt.
I mean, it's not a testimony or a prayer request. But
okay.
Sharing something that the Lord kind of showed me.
Sure.
As I was reading the other night. I was in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. But whether we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Whether we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which worketh in endurance of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Excuse me. I am reading from the NENT, the American English New Testament. And I was looking at that word endurance, and I was kind of relating it to what we do in just our natural living here, what we do in our life to build up endurance. Well, we build up by endurance by doing something over and over again, so that way we can endure it and go a little further each time, so that way we build up more endurance to do it. And I was thinking, okay, well, how does this compare to the spiritual realm of endurance? And how it, we go through trials and tribulations and all that, and it's like each time we go through a trial or tribulation, whether we pass or we fail, we're building up this endurance for our trials and our tribulations through the comfort of our Lord Jesus Christ and through faith, that we build up this endurance as we go through the trials. And I just thought, oh, wow, awesome. That's so awesome how the Lord just kind of related those two fields, the physical realm and the spiritual realm. We build up endurance to go further and to keep doing it in the physical realm. And we also do it in the spiritual realm, because each, whether we fail, we're going to go right back around that mountain again and start from step one to where, until we can go beyond that with our faith and endure it, then, you know, we can go a little further than that. And then the next trial comes along, and then, you know, we might have to go around that mountain a few times or not, you know, depending on the trial. But, and how thick-headed we are, but just that we build up endurance in that, and that, I just thought that was pretty awesome.
Amen. Amen. That was 2 Corinthians 1 and 6, right?
Yes, sir. That's okay. In the NET I was reading from.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, all these trials and tribulations that comes upon us does one thing. It worketh patience in us. Go ahead, Lena.
Hey, Michael, and everybody else.
Amen, brother.
Speaking of endurance and patience and trials, basically what it is I'd like to share a testimony that's in the making in my family. When I first came on the fellowship a couple weeks ago with you folks, and I've been in the background for a long time just listening to everybody, but I had a son that was born, and his name is Josiah. He was born March, and he was born with that umbilical cord around his neck. He was probably, we guesstimate, he was probably without oxygen for more than 10 minutes. He suffered a lot of neurological damage at birth. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can.
Okay. And so when he was born at a midwife center. And it was a very stressful birth. But the Lord got us through that. And miraculously, the baby came to life and started breathing after about 3 minutes of resuscitation. He started breathing, and, you know, it took about another 15 minutes for him to finally kind of kick in on his own and keep going. And soon his color changed, and we were praying, and the midwives were praying. I mean, they're all Christians. And so, within like 2 hours of being there after birth, he pretty much recovered. His blood sugar was fine. He was crying. He was color was fine. And so they let us go, and we just went straight home about 3 hours after birth. And later that midnight, we started noticing some weird behavior. We didn't know what seizures really looked like, so we figured, well, it's probably seizures. We don't know. And so sure enough, he started going into seizures, and the midwife the next day insisted that she come by, and so she did, you know, just to check up on us and how we're doing. And then she saw the seizure, and she's like, oh, boy, you know, this is not good, you know. And so she's like, you really want to go get checked out at the midwife center or the pediatric. And so we didn't know what was going on. So we're like, okay, well, I told the midwife, I said, don't worry, you know, he'll be fine. You know, the Lord's going to get us through this. And she's like, yeah, I understand that, but please, you know, just go get checked out. I want this baby checked out. And I was like, okay, for your own peace's sake, we'll do it. So we walk into the pediatric center, and before you know it, they've got us going in an ambulance to the NICU in Providence Hospital in Anchorage, Alaska. And anyway, to make a short story or long story short, we ended up spending about 32 days in the NICU there at the hospital with this baby. And the Lord gave us many, many miracles of through that stay at the hospital with the doctors and everything. And they actually let us go. They actually let us go after 32 days, and they pumped them full of drugs, you know, medicines, seizure control medications, all this stuff, you know. And so it was a time for us to grow, you know. It was a time for us to really grow for me and my wife. We've been listening to UBM for a very long time, since 2007. So we know a lot about this, the faith talk, the, you know, confession of your faith and so forth. And we've never had to experience it, never had to live it, never had to really put it to work. And so this was like the Lord just throwing us into a a major trial. And anyway, so he's been home for since I think April 23rd. He was born March 19th, and then they let him go from the hospital April 23rd, and he's been home since then. And about a week after taking him home, we were going to continue, you know, we were going to continue giving him his anti-seizure medication, because like, he was a very high-profile case. They were all watching it, you know. They were all watching us, and so we took him home. We're giving him his meds, and then about a week into it at home, he just goes into massive violent seizures that are just taking the life out of him. He can't breathe. He can't. He just freezes up, becomes stiff as a board, just dying, you know, completely incapacitated. And we just cry out to the Lord. And I get this understanding that the Lord's telling me that this, he does not want me to go through this medical ordeal, you know, and stop the meds because they're not working anyway. So we cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, if that's the path you want us to take, then, you know, separate us away from all the hospital staff, all the medical professionals that are watching us, and stop all the phone calls, stop everything, the therapist, everybody. And we stopped the medications that day. Well, and so, and we got help from UBM, the local folks there. I don't know, Michael, if you remember, you guys did the proxy prayer with Pamela and Josiah, and you guys poured that water over the little boy, and we received that, you know, and sure enough, you know, a lot of the demonic oppression that was on him left him.
praise God.
Praise the Lord. But you know, it wasn't it. I mean, it wasn't over. It wasn't over. We receive it as done, and we believed it with my wife, but it just continued. And to this day, it's been continuing, you know, this trial. And, man, I've never dealt with demons before. You know, I've never experienced this stuff before in my life. So this is like all new to me. I've heard about it a lot because of listening to UBM, but never seen it, never done anything with it. So this is, and I mean, we had experiences where, you know, the seizure would happen and he would turn a just violent looking face. You know, his face would become wicked looking and just mean. And I would rebuke in the name. At one point, he turned to me right in the middle of a seizure. He would just look at me with these black eyes. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of, you know, violence or murder or anger, whatever it is, or you know, come out. And then, and he literally, the boy literally, this infant barked at me. He looked at me with this, these dark eyes and barked at me, you know, and then just went back to having a seizure. I was like, okay, well, that must be a demon gone. Anyway, these trials have been going on for a long time. And then when I came on, you know, live with you folks a couple weeks ago, I right away typed and said, you know, please pray for my son Josiah again.
Yeah.
And then I heard your teaching about the fasting and prayer.
Yeah.
And I've been really, really laboring in that lately. And boy, I just feel like the devil's about done. He's pretty much, I think, got it.
Thank
you,
Lord.
right now my son is going through a stage where the devil is just tormenting him nonstop. I mean, I feel like it's because he knows it's the end. He's losing. You know, with all this fasting and praying and just believing and standing firm and not giving in, his temperature is going sky high right now. Today, all day, he's been having seizures nonstop. It's totally abnormal. Like, for the last 2 months, he'd have a seizure maybe once an hour, which is a lot. But for us, that's not a lot because we've seen a lot worse. And we've seen very violent seizures, whereas these are kind of like he'll yell out in pain, he'll twitch a little bit, and then he'll stop. You know, so they're not that bad. But this is becoming a real weird situation. He is literally just tormenting him to the point where the little child doesn't get any break. He's so worn out. He'll fall asleep, and then, you know, the devil won't even let him have 15 minutes. He'll wake him up with a seizure. And so I really feel it deep in my heart that this is the end. You know, we just got to stand our ground to the very last. After all that we've been through, you know, this is his last hurrah, and he just wants to claim ground. And so I'd like you guys to lift me up and my wife. She's with the kids at home. She's a stay-at-home mom.
Yep.
We homeschool our children. And Josiah is our third baby. We have a 2-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old son. And Josiah is now 4 months old. So if you could all lift us up and just agree with us for this awesome testimony that's in the making. I'm trying to document things and put it on paper so that I can maybe turn that in and have that as a witness to others of just God's divine protection and support. And it's been an amazing ride. And I know, I think we're on our last leg. I tell my wife, honey, by Sunday morning, this is over.
Amen.
So if you would all agree with me and just sharing this testimony, and
yep,
I'd really, really appreciate it one more time.
Okay. You want to pray? You want me to, or what?
I'd like you to go ahead and pray.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, we lift up this wonderful family that's trusting you, Lord. We thank you for their trust because you're the one that gave them that. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for, what's the little baby's name? Josiah.
Josiah.
Yeah, we lift up Josiah to you, Lord. Devil, you go from him right now in the name of Jesus. You don't have any right to be there. He's a child of the living God. Lynn, it has already taken authority over you, so you just go from him. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for the joy, the peace, and the rest that you've placed in Lynn and his wife.
Amen.
And his children. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that house is holy ground and the devil doesn't have any room there. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for his heart toward you, Lord, their heart toward you. And we praise you, Father, that he's turned to you. He's surrendered absolutely to you, Lord. And we thank you for the wonderful testimony that you are building up in this family. And Father, we praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we just thank you that when that these devils have left and they have not harmed this child in any way, form or fashion, in the name of Jesus. We command every organ, every cell, every T tissue in that baby to be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. We praise you for it, Father. We consider it done, Lord. We just consider it done in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for the joy that this testimony is going to bring to numerous people. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that? Praise God, I do. I do too. I believe that child is going to get some relief here. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. And he's going to be a blessing to you. It's going to be a great blessing to you. Thank you, Lord.
We know it.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, thank you for that testimony, Linda. That just blessed me more. I'm going to tell you something. I'm pumped up now. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. How's your wife? Is she hanging in there?
Tired.
Yeah,
she's
I expect so.
She's not getting much sleep, you know, and so he of course doesn't breastfeed anymore because of that. Ever since we left the hospital and stopped the medications and because of the seizures, he can't breastfeed. So she ends up having to pump the entire time.
Yeah.
And that takes like a 20-30 minute period. And then she has to try and somehow stuff the food down him, you know, in between his, so if she gets, you know, 30 minutes to herself every 3-4 hours, that's awesome, you know. And then that time she tries to cook and teach the kids and clean and do the laundry. And I'm at work, you know, 11-12 hours a day because of my job. it's been a real, real challenge, but you know, it's amazing. When she tells somebody about it, she smiles about it because she knows that God is just walking her through it. And I have this amazing peace about it because I just know that the Lord is just building this amazing thing in my life that I needed, you know, me and my wife really needed it. You know, we listened to UBM for a long time, but we gained a lot of knowledge and a lot of blessing, and we were able to share with others as well. But we're still very fleshly people. We didn't quite give up our life like we should for the Lord, even though the Lord's been prompting us for many years to really, you know, settle down and focus on Him. But we were just continuing to live in the flesh, you know, and so the Lord chose to kind of whip us into shape with this whole situation, and praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Are so thankful to the Lord for this whole situation. You know, I honestly am very grateful that God gave us this. I mean, this specific situation.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that my wife always feared.
Oh yeah.
You know, with childbirth. You know, that the child would be born strangulated by the umbilical cord. So there was fear there, and the devil used it. But you know, now God's working this amazing way. He's unraveling this whole ball of wax. He's just turning our hearts upside down, just stripping everything that's fleshly out of our lives. He's doing an amazing thing within our family. And not just our family, but it's affecting, you know, our extended families. We have, you know, I come from a family of 7 kids. My wife comes from a family of 8 kids. And we have hundreds and hundreds of cousins.
Yeah.
And they're all, and so our families are big. And they're all extremely, you know, sensitive to what's happening in this situation. And so God is really speaking to a lot of people through this. They definitely think we're crazy what we're doing. they don't agree, but you know what? It's just been so much hardship and fun at the same time, just watching how the Lord, step by baby steps, you know, teaching us to overcome little by little, especially when we ended up going to the hospital for that whole month. That was of the Lord too. You know, maybe it'd be unbelief and all of that, but just how the Lord worked in us and with those doctors to let us go with the situation he was in, and the fact that he even started breastfeeding after the, I mean, they were telling us that this boy was going to be retarded for the rest of his life. He was never going to be able to breastfeed. He wasn't going to be able to eat by himself. He wasn't probably going to be able to walk for a long time or be coordinated at all. I mean, they basically told us he was going to be a complete basket case. And, you know, we just kept on telling him, no, we are praying. There's a lot of people praying for this boy. He's going to come through and he's going to be totally fine. You know, just telling these doctors that, and they thought we were nuts. And we just kept on driving into Anchorage, 45, you know, 50, well, maybe 50 miles one way. Every day we just come in there and stay with that boy, and we just kept on trying to breastfeed him and confessing the confession. And sure enough, he started breastfeeding. You won't believe it. It took like 3 weeks to get there, and it just blew the doctors away, you know. And they're like, we're not letting this boy out of this hospital unless he is able to eat what we tell him he has to eat, you know. So they have these, you know, these charts, and they are just, you know, they're just way overly conservative, you know. I mean, they want that little baby eating so much that a grown-up would have a hard time eating that much, you know. But it was a miracle. God gave him the ability to go ahead and take all that food just like they demanded. and it just, they ran into a pickle where they walked themselves into a back corner and they couldn't back out. He basically passed every test that they threw at him. And then, of course, as soon as he went home, he went completely downhill. In the hospital, God was sustaining him, proving to the doctors that he was great, you know. And they let him go, and then as soon as we take him home, we get a total disaster. He just completely breaks down. At one point, he was so dehydrated and nonstop seizures. They told us, you know, if the seizure lasts more than 5 minutes in an infant, it's an extreme emergency. Well, he would have a seizure that would last for 15, 20, 30 minutes. And we just prayed and prayed, and God sustained him. He didn't die. And it was amazing. It was amazing. He became really dehydrated because he couldn't eat anything. He was literally dying in my arms. His eyes were turning gray, and he was just basically his life was leaving him multiple times. At one point, I just broke down before the Lord, laid him on the floor, laid down on the floor next to him, and just wept before God. And my wife was in town, and she comes home. I'm still laying on the floor praying and weeping before God, you know, for the life of this child. And so as soon as I get up, within an hour, all of a sudden, he's now hungry. He wants to eat. I mean, just these kind of up and down roller coasters, you know. And it's been now 4 months like this. So, but I strongly believe that we're at the end of it. And, I think that very, very soon I'll be coming on here and telling you it's done. It's manifested.
Amen. Praise God. I believe it, brother. I do. I believe it.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful testimony.
Yeah.
Did you have a question, Leon?
No, I wanted to make a statement to Leon. My nephew and his wife had the same ordeal where the...
I heard you mention that.
Cord,
heard you mention that last time.
Well,
yes.
They said he was going to be a vegetable, that he would never get into sports. He wouldn't do any of that. He's like 18 now. He came up through high school playing football, and when he was 5, he was out motocrossing with his father.
Wow.
You know what I mean? He's a perfect, perfect child. So don't let them tell you that lie. Don't you believe it, because it's not true. God
That's
is
right. No.
Greater than anything they say.
Amen to that.
Amen.
I agree.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, thanks for letting me share that. I took a lot more time than I thought I was going to.
Hey, brother, it blessed me. I believe it blessed everybody on here, and the people on the outreach out there that don't ever get on, it blessed. So you blessed a lot of folks today. So praise God. I enjoy those kind of testimonies. You know, we got a lady that came to Tennessee with me, Sandy, and she's a dreamer. And when we were living in Arkansas, her and Jeff, her husband, took care of he was 21 at the time that I met him, but he had the mind of a 2-year-old. And I forget what his name was, but anyway, they said he'd never be able to do anything other than what a 2-year-old could do. But she worked with him for years. They had this kid for a long time. And she had dreams about this child after she came over here to Tennessee, I believe it was. It might have been one dream she had while we were still in Arkansas, that child would come up to her door with another kid. Well, I say kid, he's probably 25, 26 now, and be completely healed of that thing in this dream, that he came up and him and this other kid that he was with were evangelists going around preaching the gospel. So, you know, things like that happened. And I related, I believe it was last week, about John G. Lake, the anointing that he had there for 8 months, where he, it seemed like anyone that was that had mental illness, he could pray for them and the demons would have to leave. They would leave and they'd be completely normal after that. And there was hundreds, literally hundreds of people that came from all quarters of the land, is what the article said. And he would just look at them. He knew when he prayed for them that they was going to be healed. And I believe that's fixing to happen in this time that we're fixing to go in, that there's going to be witnesses out there that's going to empty out those state hospitals, those state mental hospitals. I believe it with all my heart, and I believe that they're going for the ones who believe, that it's going to empty out the hospitals too. It's going to be an awesome time. It's going to be a great revival going on. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. That's a good testimony. Anybody got any comments or questions they want to ask Lynn? Well, I pray supernatural strength and supernatural energy on mom and daddy right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that both of them are going to just go through the day without a whole lot of sleep because you've given them that supernatural energy. I know we've experienced that at times, and David talks about it. You know, neither one of us get a whole lot of sleep at night. But Lord, you sustain us, so that's good. That's an awesome thing. Praise God. Amen.
We receive it. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lennon. Okay. Anybody else? What you got going up there? You making whiskey up there, Willie? Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, brother. Okay. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Let's see here. Mike, are you on? Mike and Yuri? Thank you, Lord. Man, I tell you what, testimonies like that get you pumped up, don't they? That's an awesome testimony. Awesome testimony. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to, that must be Barbara. Hey, Barbara. Or is that Jackie? That's you, Jackie?
Hey, Michael, it's me.
Okay. All right. That's a different number.
Oh, it is? It's my home phone number.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hi everybody. God bless you.
Yeah, bless you too.
Thank you.
Well, all right. Anybody got anything they want to talk about? We got a bunch of, we got Denny and Debbie and Matt and Sue that are coming here tomorrow. And then Missy's coming too, so they probably won't be on tonight. They're getting ready to come down here and eat with us Saturday. Well, you know, I was kind of hoping that we could get to share tonight about salvation and unconditional eternal security. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about tonight? Boy, it's going to be a long night. I tell you what, I'm just going to quote some scriptures here.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
I had a question that I wanted to ask last time, but I was waiting for Michael and Sue to come on or whatever. But anyway, what it is, how is it that you live in the Spirit all the time or walk in the Spirit all the time? I know there's a scripture that quotes that.
Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God?
No, that, it says walk in the Spirit all the time.
Okay. Does anybody want to venture an answer? You know how the way you do it is to get in the Word, stay in the Word. And once you get to know the Word puts you in the Spirit, keeps you in the Spirit, and you're able to, at some point in time, you're able to walk and be able to speak in the Spirit at all times. You know, anybody got anything else they want to add to that? Which verse is that, Kurt?
Well, I don't know. That's why I'm saying, you know, it came into my mind, and I know that I don't do it, you know, and I want to, and I am in the Scripture a lot, and you know, I'm when I'm here at the house, you know, I'm running after the Lord as fast as I and as sure as I know how. But I don't think that I'm walking in the Spirit all the time, because I know there's times that you know, depression comes on, and you know, anger wells up in me, you know, for different reasons, and I just want to be led of the Spirit like the Bible says, and I want to be in the Spirit all the time, but I'm finding that difficult to achieve.
In Galatians 5:16, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Well, how do we do that? It says, "Because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary, the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've heard other men on the fellowship here. The only way I know how to put it is they've confessed that they've fallen short of that too. And so I know that it's extremely important that we do that, but this is the question that I'm having. It's like, you know, how?
Well, it's nothing that we do. It's what God does in us. And the way we do that, we abide in Christ. And how do you abide in Christ but to read and study the Word of God? That's the way you do that. That's how you are led by the Spirit, is you are renew your mind with the Word of God. Now, we as Christians, as we start out in this Christian walk, we're kind of like babies. You know, when he's trying to walk, David has a good analogy of that in one of his books, and I think it's in Salvation Instant Progressive. We walk and we fall, but we get right back up and we keep on going, right? And we might fall and again, but we go a little bit further the next time, and pretty soon we get up to where we can walk completely with God. And you do that by praying and staying in the Word. Because when you stay in the Word, that's Christ coming into you more and more and more. And then you are abiding in Christ as that happens. We allow God to do it in us. If we try to do it ourselves, we're going to fail. Man, I've tried it, Kurt, many times myself in certain instances, you know. Man, I got to stop doing that. Well, what you do, you back off and you say, Lord, I can't do it. It's yours. I'm out of here. And I'm going to stay in the Word, and I'm going to do it. And listen, he'll put that love in your heart. He'll put that love in you for your fellow man, not to get angry. It don't make any difference what they do to you, because you've got the Word in you. You're getting the Word in you, and it's multiplying every time that you read and study the Word. And that's what matures every child of God to that Son of God that God wants. And that's to walk that walk that he wants us to walk. Walk in the steps of Christ by abiding in Christ. And who is Christ? That's the Word that we read, right? Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
I always found that Psalm 121 is always like a journey for you. And Psalm 121 is kind of like it's all God there, and it's really nice just to recite that. You know, I always found that when you get down in the dumps like that, you got to find those verses that you like to read, and something that always gets you going, like in some of the love chapters in First John. And you know, Psalm 121 is very nice on how it starts, like your journey through life, on how he's going to keep you and through all the stuff. And it's a good one to remember.
Would you read that one? You got it there?
I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That's just from memory. And it's always nice to have those verses, even hanging them up on your wall somewhere. You know, people come into this place, they'll even see a Bible verse in the bathroom.
Praise God.
That's
a good one to memorize there, man. That's a good one.
You know, it's actually really therapeutic to have them all over the place. Like, there's a few in the kitchen there, you know, you just pass them by and say, well, I'm making something for breakfast today, and I'm reading this verse on the wall that I like, and I just printed it out on a sheet of paper, highlighted some of the words in a different color of ink.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to mention that even if we are led of the Spirit and listening to the Spirit, doesn't mean that we're not tempted either, you know. the trials and tribulations. I mean, even the Bible says Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil, you know. So, I mean, there is going to be trials and temptations even if you are led by the Spirit.
So what are those trials for? That's to work that patience in you, isn't it?
The endurance.
The endurance and patience in you, that's right. Praise God. And that's more or less what Leonard was talking about with his testimony there. God's working in them, patience and trust. Trust that the Lord is doing it, you know. Praise God.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Anybody else? Boy, I like that Psalms 121. I'm going to put that one up too, Andrew. I'm going to claim that in his mind too. I like it, brother. I like it. That's a good idea.
You have to have a journey.
Yeah.
That's the journey he puts you on. Yeah. I was reading Proverbs 3 today because it's the third day of the month. And it's just so amazing on how he talks there. You know, how you're supposed to write the word upon your heart. And I'm going, wait a minute, Lord, am I supposed to borrow your pen here that you have over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? You know, I thought you were going to write this on my heart. Am I supposed to write it on my heart? You know, don't use the eraser, though. Anyway, and it's interesting. Interesting ink. You can have for that too, and just before that verse, where the letter killeth and the spirit giveth life, there's some really good ink there. It's spiritual ink, you know, that it's not written in stone or with ink, you know, it's written with the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Because I work in a print shop, so I'm looking for that ink.
Amen. Well, I'm looking for the certain. Yeah, there it is. In Psalm 45:1, I knew it was there. I just couldn't figure out which one. For the chief musician set to shun, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song of love. My heart overfloweth with a goodly manner. I speak the things which I have. I have made touching the king. Wait a minute. Let me get it. Here, it's got it all messed up here. My heart overfloweth with a goodly matter. I speak the things. I confess with my mouth, which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Now there's a song that we sing that's called that. The my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. That's what we ought to be confessing all the time. You know, I am Jesus. We're supposed to be looking in the mirror, aren't we? Seeing Jesus. We look in that spiritual mirror and see Jesus. My tongue is a ready writer. We talked about John G. Lake. He put on his suit and his tie and his coat. He'd go out the door. I am Jesus in this good looking suit going out to meet the folks. And taking Jesus to them, because I am Jesus. And that's the tongue of a ready writer. You're confessing those things. Leonard and his wife are doing that with that baby right now. Their tongue is the pen of a ready writer. They're speaking faith. Praise God. Ooh, glory to God. He said, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Man, I tell you what, Psalms is just full of good stuff. My gracious, I started reading it here a while back, a little bit every day. Praise the Lord. All right, anybody else? We're just going to go to a potpourri tonight. Anybody got any questions that anybody could answer? or a statement, a revelation that you run across?
You know, I kind of look at, you know, my walk in Christ whenever I have these weird notions of, you know, not being faithful enough or not being enough, you know, for Christ. Can you guys hear me fine?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just keep my mind on, you know, what the scripture says. Unless you become as little children, you shall no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And it keeps me from, you know, doing it all in my own strength, you know. I have to fulfill the walk of Christ. I have to live out the walk of Christ. And it's just Christ fulfilling and living out what he's already done in you. And as a child, he wants to supply your every need through that, you know. Because as you know, if I'm young, you know, I'm not my full manifestation. What is that glorified body? Down here, I'm still a disciple. You know, I'm still a learner and a follower. And I can mess up. Just as, you know, Jesus' disciples messed up. And, you know, Jesus was patient with them. And his hand wasn't heavy with his disciples. You know, his mouth wasn't merciless with his disciples. You know, he wasn't trying to put them out of his presence. You know, if they didn't respond the right way to a parable, if they didn't understand the way the parable went, he was always patient. He's always kind. He's always long-suffering. You know, walk in the Spirit. What is the Spirit, you know? You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, that's walking in the Spirit. You know, just receiving Christ in you. You know, yeah, you're going to mess up. Yeah, you're going to mess up. You're not immortal. You're not, you know, you're still in the flesh. And there's a purpose and a reason why you're still in the flesh. Because God wants to show you how gentle and how kind and how long-suffering he is, what peace he's made between us and him. You know, he wants to demonstrate all those, you know, loving words of kindness that he spoke. You know, being in the flesh is a good thing, you know, because it leaves us utterly dependent, you know, on allowing God to fulfill his word. So if you find a place, you know, where you're like, you know, I don't, you know, see the fulfillment of the word happening in me, you know, ask, you know, seek, knock. When the disciples said, teach us how to pray, they didn't take it on themselves then to be like, you know what, I'm going to try my hardest to try to do this. They said, teach us how. You know, and the Holy Spirit is, you know, our comforter, teaching us how to walk in the Spirit. You know, what is that one scripture, you know, created in Christ Jesus for good works? How does that scripture go? Is it we were created in Christ Jesus for good works? I wish I could remember how that scripture goes completely.
What if I know?
But yeah. I'm down in the basement, so I don't got no access to a computer right now.
Are you painting a Renoir up there or down there?
No, I'm doing a motorized bike build.
Oh, okay. Ephesians 2:10.
Okay.
For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them.
Amen. We are his workmanship.
Yep.
I'm not my workmanship. It's not, you know, in my power to be able to, you know, do what Christ has already foreordained, you know. It comes down to trusting in him. And when we're not trusting in him, you know, we're looking at the false God. You know, we're looking at self. We find ourselves beginning to worship you know, that false god. That false god is very tricky, you know, because it always judges, you know, on how well, you know, you feel that you're performing in Christ. But I'm going to go too far because I'll end up going off the, going off from what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to share that with that brother, you know, because I fall into those cases of, you know, oh, I'll never get it right. Oh, you know, if I don't sin again, oh, Lord, oh.
Amen. That's good.
Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I can add Romans chapter 8 is also in this subject. There is no condemnation. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
That was Romans 8 in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. How far down do you read, John?
Up to and verse 4.
4?
From 1.
Yeah. Yeah. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's somebody that's not saved. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you got to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are, here's where I was getting to, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And the more of God you put into you, the more you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. That's what he's telling us. The more that we abide in Christ, and Christ is what? That's the Word. The more of that that you put into you, the more that you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. It's good to memorize some of these scriptures, you know. I don't consider it a law that you have to, because like Andrew was talking about earlier, God will bring the ones to memory that you need and that time. You know, it's no big deal, but, you know, it still helps you, like he was talking about, that Psalms. What was that? Psalms 121. That's a good one, man. I like that one. I'm going to memorize that one myself. And when it comes up next time, I'm going to be like Andrew. I'm going to be looking right in the camera, telling y'all what it says, because that's one of them that we need to know. Praise God. Another one is that Psalm 45. That's another good one. And 25. There's a lot of them. Actually, I had a bunch of them. Who's got a favorite scripture? What's your favorite scripture?
I
What's your favorite scripture, Matt?
Let me get it on the blog here just one moment.
Okay.
It's in Psalms, I'll give you that much.
Okay.
Psalms 43. Let me get it in here. The whole chapter.
Okay. Not but 11 verses. You want to read it?
Yeah, I'm going to read it. I'm getting there.
Okay.
Okay. Psalms 43:1. Judge me, O
God. You said 33?
I said 43.
Yeah. 43:1. Okay. I thought you said 42. All right. Go ahead, bud.
All right. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why hast thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, and let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then I will go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy, and upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. That one was, it's been my favorite for years, and that's always spoken to me when I've been in a lot of trials and tribulations, especially out there in the world working or doing sports or whatever, you know, because people are mean out there, and the Lord uses them to crucify our flesh. And, you know, that, you know, deliver me from the unjust man, you know, and it just really spoke to me. And that's always been my favorite, I guess, chapter in the whole Bible, you know. Because it speaks to me personally, but, you know, I love the whole Bible. Don't get me wrong, but that one just kind of stands out for me more.
Yeah, that's a good one. Amen. Anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gano.
Well, I was just going to share one. I've probably shared this verse before. The verse I felt the Lord was telling me one day, many, many years ago, that this was the verse for me. And it is in Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart hath trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. That's one that I especially like. And there's just so many of them. It's, you know, a person could go on forever. I have a lot of favorites. I was just going to share also that you read the verse from Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. That's one the Lord gave me just the other day also.
Oh, yeah? Awesome.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Anyway, there's lots of good verses in here. You know, he wants us to share, put our burdens on him. That's another one. I kind of go to that one too, because a lot of times, you know, he makes the load light. And that's another one. And I guess that was all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's good ones. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah, Leah.
Michael?
Yeah.
It's Jackie.
Oh, hi, Jackie.
Hey, my favorite verse I'd like to share.
All right.
All right, thank you. It's in John 14, And I'll start in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know the way. That is my favorite verse, is in my Father's house are many mansions. It just brings so much comfort to know the Lord went ahead and prepared everything for us.
And, amen.
That we just have to trust and believe and not be anxious, not let our heart be troubled about anything.
That's right. That's where he wants us. He wants us to trust him.
Amen.
Rest in him. That's good.
I witnessed this verse at my husband's funeral to about 200 people.
Praise
the Lord
God.
Had me. They asked me, you know, why the Bible was there and why it was open, you know, by the casket and what it was signifying. And I told them, you know, so everybody that came up to see my late husband's dead body for the viewing, I read it to. And then we read it during the service. So I witnessed to a lot of people the comfort and the peace the Lord brought me, showing my heart was not troubled and what his choice was at the time. So, amen.
That was a great witness to everybody too, wasn't it, Jackie?
It was, because I was calm and peaceful. And, well, you know, I was full of that most perfect peace that surpasses all understanding and complete joy at the time when I should have been so broken and devastated. So it was a miracle, and the verse, you know, just spoke volumes to people. So praise God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a good one.
Thank you. Amen.
Yeah. Okay, Leon.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have a Bible with me. I left mine downstairs.
For shame. For shame.
Yeah. Don't crucify me. But if you could read Psalm 91,
okay,
that's an awesome, awesome chapter.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Hey, there's Tracy and Jeremy. Hey.
All right, Psalms 91. One.
Yeah.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's a good one. That's one everybody ought to know. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else got a favorite scripture?
Hey, can I throw something out real quick?
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what verse that was, but it was He had 1,000 at his side and 10,000 on his right hand?
Yep.
Yeah, well, Saul killed 1,000. David killed 10,000.
Yep.
Right, so there's more there than meets the eye, kind of like a transformer. That's what the word of God is. Yeah. Right, so don't let the get you, because the devil's going to come and he's going to snatch that word away. Right, but if you stay true and you keep that in your heart, the next thing you get a little nugget there, next thing you know, it's going to build into a little mountain. Before you know it, you're going to have a mountain of truth inside you, and you're not going to realize what's going on. You're like, wow, it's so clear now. Now I'm just saying this, I don't know the rest of the study, but that's what spoke out to me when you were talking.
Praise God. Yeah, that's good. Awesome. Man, the Word of God is so rich. As layer upon layer upon layer, you look at one thing in a verse, and somebody else can look at it and find something else, and somebody else sees something else in it. You know, it's wherever you are. All right, anyone else got a favorite scripture? Well, I'll tell you one that I just recently picked up in. Let me get this thing to work. Come on, man. That's, of course, you all know the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And it actually tells you what God considers important. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm going to start out in verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoice with the truth. It beareth all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. But now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Amen. That's a good one. And I'll tell you something. There's all kinds of stuff in this chapter here. That's the man-child coming. That's your maturity in Christ is in there. All of that stuff. That's some good chapter. But you got to have love. We all have to have love. And he tells you what it is. You know. You can do all of these things up here that's great and mighty, you know, but you don't have love. That ain't going to help you a bit in the world. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else got a good verse? Go ahead, Matt.
Not me, actually.
Oh, Anna. Okay.
It's actually a couple different ones, but in Philippians 4, it's got the whole chapter is good. It's got some of my favorite verses in there. I'm going to start in verse 4, Philippians 4:4.
Did you say 1 Corinthians?
Philippians.
Oh, Philippians. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just going to read, just kind of skip over and get my favorite ones. I'm going to start with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The things which ye both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And then down in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know also how to abound. In everything and in all things I have learned the secret, both to be filled and to be hungry, both to abound and to be in want. I can do all things in him that strengtheneth me. And then again, verse 19 again. And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. How'd that speak to you?
A lot. Just that first one, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. You know, rejoice. And then he talks about being content, you know, when he's hungry and thirsty and naked. Or he talks about that in another chapter too. But, you know, being content in all things and God giving him the strength to do all things. And, you know, it's just all encompassing what the Lord has given us. And we can rejoice through it all. We're supposed to rejoice through it all.
Amen. And verse 19 says it all, doesn't it? My God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. How many of you know that he's got a bunch of riches up there in glory? Amen. He can take care of every need that we have. And he will in the days to come if we have that faith to believe. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, if you guys don't mind, I'd like to share something real quick regarding verses. And the one that keeps sticking out to me is when Jesus rebuked Peter. And I think it's really interesting because if you look at the three accounts that we have of that, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and I'll read it to you real quick, because it's so important that we have the root within us. And anything, you know, like anything else would be uncivilized, that old size spice commercial, anything else is sin, right? So when you look at this, he literally says, it's Matthew 16:22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And this is just after Jesus said that all the things that must happen to him right after, right? Flesh and blood had not revealed Christ to Simon Barjona, right? He renamed him Peter because he gave him his new name, as he says he will in Revelation, right? Right after he gave him his new name, he rebuked him, right? What I find interesting about that is he rebuked him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art offense to me. This is the reason why. For you savorest the things that be of God, men and not the things that be of God. When you look at the other accounts, Luke, in Luke 4 says, he answered and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him shall only you serve. Right? So it's a, you know, if you worship their expectations, you worship their opinions, right? Your identity is in them and what they think. Right, so you're compromised your message, and you won't tell them the truth. We're told over and over and over that open rebuke is better than secret love, right? Because the goal is salvation. And so, looking at that, you know, he said the flesh and blood hadn't revealed this to you. Only my Father in heaven. I can't reveal Jesus Christ to you as much as you can to me. Only through my repentance to God will he open up my eyes, right? But still, yet then, he says, if any disciple will follow after me, anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For you know, struggling with that and overcoming that specifically, it reminds me of the young man, the young ruler, the young man that approached Jesus and said, let me go back and bury my father. And he said, you know, let the dead bury the dead, for no man that put his hands on the plow, right, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. Come, just keep, be focused on Christ, man. When Peter got out of the boat, and this is another thing, the Lord dropped in me, he always does this when I'm just walking around, hanging, you know, mindless, just doing other stuff. But when the disciples were sent in the boat to go after him, I don't know if I told this for you last time, but again, it's very important for me, because I have to constantly remind myself of this, that the disciples were told to go without Christ, and the storm came. And he said, you know, they freaked out because they saw that ghost on the water. And Jesus said, do not fear. It is I. Be of good cheer. He's overcome all that. He's the one causing all that. But if we focus on that, we're not getting behind. We're not putting the devil behind us. We're not fit for the kingdom of heaven because we're still focusing upon the things of the world. We're not of good cheer. We're fearing the things of the world. Right? So, and, you know, if you're not ashamed of the gospel, then accept the persecutions that come with that. You know, and that's the whole point. And the devil's going to try and knock you off that horse every single time. Right? He's going to persecute you. Then he's going to try and get you to think that that persecution, you're wrong, that God didn't tell you to do that, and doubt and push you down, because whatever you do without faith is sin. Right? So therefore, you're in sin, and he can hit you even more. So stay true to exactly what the Lord's telling you to do, that he puts into your spirit, weigh it by the word of God, and then push forward and don't look back. That wasn't me.
I started to say, man, your voice changed there pretty quick.
What's the problem with dogs? They don't have inside voices.
Yeah. You know, it's, well, we'll just cast them out for you, brother.
Alert now, no matter what.
All right. Praise God. All right, anybody else? That's good. Jeremy, thank you very much. Anyone else have a good scripture they'd like to relate?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Marlon.
Yeah, I always liked the 23rd Psalm. It was one of my favorites.
Okay.
Can I read it?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guideth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. For surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I had that for a verse the other morning, the whole 23rd Psalm.
It was my favorite one.
Yep. It's a good one. I told him, I said, I'm going to give you, I got a verse that was kind of obscure and nobody knows anything about it. And, of course, when I started reading it, they all. Anyway, praise God. That's a good one. Anybody else? I know what I'm going to relate a story. When I was a teenager, I had a friend of mine that had a jet boat, and we were out on the river, and a thunderstorm came up. I'm not talking about just the little one. I mean, it was lightning all around us. We had to pull in to the beach because we couldn't, it wouldn't plane out. The boat wouldn't plane out. It would just go like that, you know. He never could get it to plane out. And, man, we were scared because kids, you know, lightning was smacking the ground, smacking trees. And, I said, man, we better get to praying here. This ain't good. And I was just an old pagan kid, you know, but I had grown up in a apostate church, but I knew this particular psalm. And I started, we had to memorize that psalm. And so I started quoting that, and he started saying what I was saying, you know. And finally we decided to go ahead and get in a boat and try to get back to the dock. And I jumped up on the front end of that boat, and he pushed the gas down. We tried to ease through it, and we finally got that thing planed out and got back. But anyway, that's the verse I quoted when we were all that lightning around us. God knows who's his are, doesn't he? He keeps them all through the years, whether they know him or not. Oh, that sounded good. What was that? That Marlon or Jeremy?
I didn't realize we were on mute. Off mute. Sorry, that was a text message.
Okay. All right. Hey, Dave. We're giving out the favorite scriptures that we like to give out, you know, our favorite verses or chapters or whatever.
You mean out of the Bible?
Yeah. No, out of the Quran. Of course, out of the Bible. All right, anybody else?
Michael.
Hey, Wade.
Hey, I consider this my second love chapter, and that's 1 John chapter 4. But I in particular, my verse 17 and 18. And herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
Amen. That is a good one. If you got fear, you don't have faith, do you?
It's working against your faith for sure.
Yep.
Bro, did you guys catch what he said? Fear has torment, right? Saul had tormentors. Saul was afraid of the people's opinions. Saul lost his anointing. The root has to be within you, right? So it's the same thing, all adding up, man. The Lord don't give you that.
Nope.
You have a favorite?
Okay, anybody else? Well, that's a good chapter there.
Hello?
Yeah,
hello,
go ahead.
Michael?
Yeah, Gano.
I was just going to share another one that I like. It's from John 17, verse 24. And it says, Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I just thought that was pretty cool. Jesus wants us to be where he is. And that's a very special verse.
Amen.
Yeah.
That was what
actually,
first?
That whole chapter is really good.
John 17.
John 17, verse 24.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of good verses in that chapter, but I
yes, it is.
That.
Amen.
So that was all.
Okay, that's a good one. All right, anybody else?
I read one, but I almost say it's my favorite, but when I read this after I came to UBM, it really was pretty cool. This is Nehemiah, starting at 8:13, Feast of Booths celebrated. And on the second day, they were gathered together, the heads of the fathers of the houses of all the people, the priests, the Levites, unto Ezra, the scribe, and each gave attention to the words of the law. And they found written in the law how the Lord had commanded Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. and that they should publish and proclaim in all the cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount, fetch olive branches, and branches of wild olive, and myrtle trees, myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it was written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the broad places of the water gate, and in the broad place of the gate of Ephraim. And all assembled all of them that were again, come together again out of the captivity, made booths and dwelt in booths. For since the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. And also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the ordinance.
Amen. All right, that's a good one.
Of course, we all know about the Feast of Booths.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, that was a seven-day feast. That was the type of the tribulation.
What we're coming up to.
Yep.
And they kept the law and read it every day, and there was gladness in the camp, and yep, they dwelt in booths and all temporary tabernacles. And the eighth day was a solemn assembly.
Amen. Okay. Anyone else have a
Jeremy, you talk?
Yeah, I was talking to Tracy. I was going through some of the stuff and just looking at different things I had finished putting together, kind of like studies and whatnot to learn from. And some of it is the things that are overlooked as far as 1 Corinthians 13, if I can pull this up real quick. I was looking for it to put it, I guess maybe in the chat or to read it to you folks, but yeah, there it is. It's in 2 Peter, in 2 Peter 1. So can I read that real quick? Do you guys mind?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's see, 2 Peter 1. Let's skip to this. And it says, the footnotes is where we err a lot, so I'm just going to start at 3. It says, according to his divine power, that he has given us all things that pertain to life and goodness. That's all things, everything that pertain to life and goodness, because he won't lead you into temptation. Through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's through the world through its lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, faith works by love, virtue, add to virtue knowledge, add to knowledge temperance, add to temperance patience, add to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. Right? And there's a lot right there to add. It's like a step-by-step program. You had Alcoholics Anonymous, they have a 12-step program. Well, that's a 6-step program right there. Right? And that's to add the focus on these things in love, because it's to add to your faith. Right? And the very last part of that is charity, which translates in the New King James or any other one to being love. Right? So it's interesting, your temperance, add to your knowledge. You can't just have knowledge that's, walk around establishing your righteousness based off what you know. Reel it back in a little bit. You might have a zeal, now hone it. Add to it temperance. Right, but still maintain your love. Right, how many of you guys have been in a room full of crowded people, and you can't get a word in edgewise? You want to speak and you have something to say, but you just can't because everybody's got a bullhorn, and you might have a sore throat that day. Right, they got a lot of zeal, don't they? Right, so just maintain that temperance, and if it's meant for you to say, the Lord will give it to you to say. He'll give you time to say it, But it's things like that virtue, right, that we have to add all these things to. So that's like an extension of 1 Corinthians 13 to me, right? Because understanding that really does help me out. You know, and we talk over and over and over. Michael, I talked to you on the phone about this. And what are the patience of the saints? Because when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, it tells you to have love is patient, love is kind, right? Well, in Revelation 14, it says, here are the patience of the saints, right? It describes it as those that keep the Lord's commandments, right, and the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Those that keep his commandments, that love God and have faith. So all of a sudden, it's patient and it's kind, right? Patience can kind of translate in that aspect to loving the Lord in all things. See, all things happen according to him, according to the good for them that know and love God. Why? Because you see the silver lining at the end of the rainbow, or at the end of the tunnel. Excuse me, let me look for silver lines and rainbows, but you see the light at the end of the tunnel. So you know that whatever's going to happen to you is happening for the good because you're called according to his purpose. You know, so not to get off track too much, but at the same time, that's what really spoke to me, is adding virtue into that, into your knowledge. Because you can have a zeal for the Lord, but you can be, like Todd White said, you can be really wrong about being really right.
Yep. In this particular passage, they've got a comma after diligence. I think most of you know that there shouldn't be a comma there. The comma should be after faith, because faith is the foundation, right? Diligence in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge. We'll go on and on and on. They just put the comma in the wrong place. Yeah, that's good. Fruit of the Spirit. That's Jesus right there. Walk just like him. Y'all do that, you'll be all right. If we do that, we'll be fine.
No pressure. Just pressure.
No yeah. pressure. If you don't do it, you're going to hell. So, I mean, I'm just saying. No. No, we should all strive for perfection and allow God to do that work in us. All right, anybody else got one? Anybody else?
Well, I could throw on another one up if you guys want.
Go ahead.
Looking at today, which is in 2 Thessalonians, which I found completely powerful. Let me throw this up here real quick. All right. See here, it's 2 Thessalonians 2. And let's see here. Okay. And then shall the wicked be revealed, when the Lord shall consume them with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan with all power, lying signs and wonders. Right? And what I found interesting about that is the next verse, it says verse 10, it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, right? Because they have not received the love of truth, that they might be saved. Now, so I don't believe that they're talking necessarily about the world, because Jesus says in Revelation 3 there's a synagogue of Satan. I don't think he's talking about Anton LaVey there, right? And so when we look at this, the very next chapter, the very next verse says, and for this cause God should send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So God purposely sends them a strong delusion so that they believe a lie, right? And why is this? That they might be damned who believed not the truth. They were given the opportunity. The reason they're going to receive this is because they had pleasure in unrighteousness, right? So, and when we're told that, it's our responsibility to say, Lord, is that true? If so, please show me so I can repent to you. Because everybody's looking for a big billboard, man. We're all wanting that text from God. We're all wanting God to personally come down here and say, hey, you're doing something wrong. But we won't hear the little person, just like Job had to hear the man that was much younger than him. We won't hear the little person that might throw that out to us. Because we know we're right. In Proverbs 21:2 says that every man's righteous in their own eyes, but God ponders the hearts. So you know, every villain is the hero of his own story. And so I praise God, because that right there is indisputable proof, right, that you can fall away. And God will allow that. Not only will he allow it, he'll send you a strong delusion because you decide not to follow him. So, you know, it's kind of like a catch-22, when Michael said earlier on, you know, when I said no pressure, you know, because he lays a rock in Sion, right? He lays a rock for you to stumble over, right? But that's your point. That's when you're supposed to say, I'm sorry, right? As opposed to continue stumbling. A lot of people get crumbled. When the rock falls upon them, they stumble over the rock. It falls upon them, and then it crushes them into powder, right? And so you don't want to be crushed into powder. I'd much rather be bruised than crushed into powder. Excuse me.
What do you mean? Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Just a statement to ask a question here on the verse you just read, the strong delusion. Would that have anything to do with the verse that's in 2 Corinthians 3 and 6? For the letter, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So I guess... But our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So the letter could be a strong delusion?
Mm-hmm. It could be.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But it is to a lot of folks, you know.
Yeah, they have the pre-tribulation rapture, false prophecy, and they've got that temple being a physical temple too. Hey, that's better for sure.
Yeah, but there's going to be a physical temple before the tribulation. There's lots of strong delusion out there. Some of the churches have some of the truth, and they got to mix up their religion with it.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
And Andrew, it could also be them able to take the mark. That's a new doctrine out. You can take the mark and still be saved, and still make it to heaven. But that's not what Scripture says.
No. They hang on to that once saved, always saved. I've heard Charles Stanley preach that, and also John MacArthur preached the same thing, that... And that's a strong delusion. That's people don't get in the Word to find out, you know, I'm not going to heaven. You're not going to heaven. None of you are going to heaven. It's the Christ in you that's going into heaven. And what I was looking for, those scriptures that talk about that. First Corinthians 1:18 says, for the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. And those of us who are saved and have trusted in the Lord to bring us along and to mature us into that image that he wants us to be, where he wants us to be, and us walking like Jesus, we understand about the veil that's over these people's minds. They're deluded because they don't get in the Word. They don't trust the Lord to teach them what the word says. And when that happens is people are misguided, and boy, that's going to be hard on them in the days to come to be able to walk through tribulation like he wants us to be to walk, you know. It's going to be a hard thing. But that's why he's bringing the bride to maturity, and that rain is going to fall on them. And it's going to help out considerably, because I believe the former rain is going to be in its fullness on the bride. It's going to be in its fullness. And, of course, the latter rain with the former rain is going to be on the man child. And all of that correction will come about. And those who don't have a religious spirit and they truly want to know the truth are going to find it out. So, praise God. Well, we're kind of winding down here. Has anybody got any prayer requests before we go? Or what do y'all want to talk about? What is this? What's today? Today's Thursday, isn't it? Yeah. What do y'all want to talk about next Tuesday? Anybody got a subject? Charlie, you got a subject that you'd like to talk about next Tuesday that we could talk about? Might have fell asleep over. Anybody got a subject they'd like to talk about? How about faith? That's something we hadn't talked about. I'm just kidding. Faith is a good one. Go ahead, Charlie. How you doing, brother?
I'm going to give some thought to it. I have a train of thought, but no time right now to share any of it.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe you can share it Tuesday night. That'd be good. And then we could talk about it Thursday night or something. All right. Good night, y'all. Bless you. Talking to Tracy and Jeremy. They got to go. Anybody got a subject for next Tuesday night? How about angels and their ministry? God's angels and their ministries. The devil's angels and their ministry. How about that? That's what we're going to talk about. So y'all look it up. Does that sound all right to everybody? Okay.
I think we should maybe expound this a little bit more to what we just started here on a topic of why people are going to be deceived. And okay.
Strong delusion.
We're following a pattern. And I think we got to understand this pattern was played out when Jesus was here before. And now it's going through the pattern again. So we got to see that he did the same thing when he was here with the Jews. He spoke to them in parables. And there are many that didn't understand what he was saying. And
okay.
I think we're going to see the same thing happening again. So it's a repeat.
All right, let's do this. Let's talk about destructive demon doctrines. Okay? That's a book that David wrote. You can go online, download it, and look and see, and we'll talk about that next Tuesday night, okay? That's a good one, David. That'd work good. Kind of work into what we've been talking about. Destructive demon doctrines. And, you know, we might also talk about some of the doctrines that we all came out of to get to where we are now, you know, because we all started out somewhere. I started out in one of them, went to another one, went to another one, went back to one, and then just Lord just took me out of all of them. Well, okay, that sounds good. Praise God. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this potpourri tonight your fellowship. Lord, it's been good. A lot of people share. That's good. I always love it when everybody gets to share something. And, Father, we thank you for that. And, Lord, we just ask that you be with Denny and Debbie and Matt and Sue and Missy as when they come down here tomorrow. Protect them, Lord. Be with them that it won't be such a long trip, that they'll just be praising you and worshiping you and conversing with you, and it'll be a short trip. And we thank you for it, Father. We ask, Lord, that you bless everybody tonight, Lord, with new revelations out of your word, and put a hunger in them, Lord, to get in the word if they're not. And, Lord, we thank you that this time that people are not only have faith, but they have trust too, Lord. It takes faith with trust, the trust that you're going to go ahead and fulfill what it is we prayed about. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us how to pray. You're teaching us how to intercede. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Josiah and Lynn and his wife. Father, that whole family is just going to be a supernatural testimony that's going to lift the lives of many people as they walking through this trial that they're in. And Father, we praise you for it. We thank you for it, Lord, that baby is delivered, healed, and set free. In Jesus' name, Josiah, be healed in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Lord, we just ask that your angels be all about that house tonight and all of our houses tonight, Father. We thank you for that. And Lord, anybody that has any needs that are pressing, Lord, we ask and we pray, Father, that those needs be met. In Jesus' name, you are the provider. You are our protector. You are our deliverer. And you are our salvation, Father. And we praise you for that and thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, all right, saints. Good night. God bless you.